Thank you. that 91, David?
Yes.
91.
Thank you.
birthday. Thank you. something in the 100s, would you be free?
The one.
18 in the back.
And then you could tell they were getting down, they were struggling, and So that was an encouragement to them. And then later on, there was a little girl on this same team that had been losing, and she was, I would say, the smallest one. And she would always kick last in the group. Well, she kept kicking to the best player on the other team, and twice in a row, and she would just run her little heart out, and they'd throw her out at first. And I'd see her, I think all the other kids were, you know, watching the game and everything, and they didn't see her, but every time I saw her, she'd just come back, her head just hanging, and she had tears coming down her face, and I felt so bad. So I was just sitting there watching that, and anyway, they came, okay, this is the last inning. You know, the team that was losing, they were losing pretty bad. Well, this little girl came up to bat last, and she went and she got a good kick on it, and then she took off again. Well, David had seen the same thing. He saw those tears, and David turned and added a little more to it. And all the kids were cheering. She stopped at first base, like, did I make it?
No, keep going.
So she kept going, stopped again, did I make it? They're like, keep going. She came all the way home. They were all hugging her, giving her high fives. They still lost the game. Like, she had the biggest grin on her face. It just made her day. And I just thought that was a really neat example of encouragement. And I just want to turn just to a story real quick. It's an Old Testament story. We won't take long here. Just read a couple of verses. And I'd encourage you to read this story for yourself. Because it's a real encouragement. It's a dark time in Israel history where Saul was their king, and he was not. He started out good, but he was not leading them in a correct way. And, you know, his son Jonathan actually had purpose and desire to please the Lord, and they were being oppressed by the Philistines, and Jonathan had gone out and slain a garrison, and so that kind of angered the Philistines, and so they brought out, you know, like the whole troop, they're bringing all the chariots, everything, they're going to come to war and put them in their place. And meanwhile, Saul is like sitting under a pomegranate tree doing nothing. They were so oppressed that they had to go down to the Philistines to get their farm equipment sharpened. They had like just a handful of swords in all of Israel. And some of them had even defected over to the Philistines. They're like, you know what, I'm done. I'm just going over to the enemy because I know I'll have it better there. I don't want it. Some were hiding in caves. They were in bushes. And so let's just read 1 Samuel 14 and verse 1. Now it came to pass upon this day that Jonathan the son of Saul said unto the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree. And then we'll just skip down. And verse 4, between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozeth, and the name of the other Senet. And then we'll skip down again. So he comes up with this plan with his armor bearer and says, you know, I think we should go, you know, everyone else is just inactive. My father's not doing anything. We're letting the enemy oppress us. Let's go do something about this. And verse 6, and Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no constraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thy heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee, according to thy heart. Then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. And both of them discovered themselves, skipping down again unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes, where they hid themselves. The men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer, and said, come up to us, and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said, come unto his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearers slew after him. Just picture this. Jonathan turns to his armor bearer and says, yeah, let's go attack this garrison. And clearly, you know, there was two big rocks
they had to go up, like, it sounds like kind of cliffy areas to even get to it, because they were crawling on their hands and knees. No doubt they were sweating, it was hot, he's carrying armor. He could have easily said, you know, this is a terrible idea. You know, like, your father is sitting under a pomegranate tree, people are hiding, people already defected to the enemy. What? Why are we doing this? Why are we just so giving our lives to them? But no, he encouraged Jonathan and said, all that's in your heart, let's do it. I'm sure that was a huge encouragement to Jonathan. If he had said no, you know, maybe Jonathan would have gone and struck out on his own. But having that armor bearer, we read little of this man. But he encourages him, and they go up. And what happens? I won't read the rest of the story, but so this happens. They slay this group of garrison, and then the Lord allows an earthquake, and there's trembling, and the Philistines start to get scared. They start attacking each other, and then here's Saul sitting under a tree. He's like, oh, something's happening. Maybe we should join. And so he, you know, he rallies the troops, and anyway, it ends up turning into a huge victory on the end of the. Partway through the chapter, says that Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into camp from the country round about, even they also turned to be with the Israelites and were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, also the men of Israel that had hid themselves in Mount Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also fall apart after them in the battle. And so, how do we apply this practically? I was just thinking, you know, we have these wonderful times, like these camps, these conferences, where we come and we're encouraged, but then I know too easily for myself, I go back home and I go back in my own little bubble and, you know, just doing my own thing. But no doubt, you know, you made some new friends here, maybe you heard of some situations where, you know, there's those that need prayer, maybe you heard of some older ones who are shut up in their home, we have COVID going on, everything, and they're not able to get out, they're lonely. Think of the ways that you can encourage, whether that's, you know, driving home from work or going to school, you take 10 minutes out of your time that, you know, you could be listening to music or a podcast or whatever you like to do, and instead you get on the phone and you just call someone and, you know, share a verse you enjoyed or share something with them. You know, Joe Contreras the other night, he was talking about apostasy by science. And we know the enemy attacks us young people. I'm an older young people, you young people. As you're going to a school and whatnot, I'm sure many of you have run into those teachers or the ones that try to undermine your faith. And we all, as they all each mentioned, Bob, Tony, Joe, different ones. I had a good friend that, you know, we'd always go to Des Moines conference and stay with them. They would come to Denver conference and stay with us. And now he's an outspoken atheist. And it's really hard to see these things, but how does this happen? You know, if we're keeping up with one another, if we're, you know, touching in and sharing verses, we all need to be encouraged. So we're not strong on our own. We can't just do it all ourselves. And it helps to have somebody there that's saying, come on, we're almost there. Keep it up. So just want to leave you with those thoughts. Let's all be encouragers. Maybe you don't feel a lot of direction in your life. You know, Tim mentioned, you know, going over to Malawi or these ones that need help. And maybe the Lord hasn't called you to that yet. And maybe you're not sure what the Lord is calling you to do in your life. But don't worry. What you can do while you wait on Him is be an encourager. Because, you know, encourage those ones that have a work going on, or a friend that you see that's having a hard time at school, or maybe being made fun of, being mocked. It's a battle every day because they are a Christian. We know it's not going to get easier in this country. And so let's just encourage one another. You know, make a phone call, send a text, do that, and keep up with one another. All right, let's just give thanks. God, Father, we just thank you for that word. Just pray for help to encourage one another, and that we would all seek to press on for your honor and glory, for help and direction for each of our lives as well. And just thank you too for the food that's prepared. And just pray. pray this all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.